Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether this is your first time or you have been here your whole life, we are glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn more about how we are church together. Your bulletin has a list of announcements and a calendar. Learn more about our worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have a question, you may ask the elder who will be standing at the communion table following worship. And also don't hesitate to just ask someone around you. Our hospitality registers are in the pews. We would love if you would sign and pass those along so that we can greet one another by name. Just a few announcements about today. First, pre-K and preschool Sunday school. Those children today will not be in their normal classroom. They'll be in the nursery. So following children's time, the preschool class will be in the nursery. Following worship, young adults are welcome to join our associate pastor, Katie, at Love and Cup Bistro by the RIT campus. But before you go, everyone is welcome to the Advent Alternative Market happening just down the hall in Fellowship Hall. I have had a sneak peek. There are a lot of great items that are for sale, many of which are fair trade or support the mission and ministry here at GPC. All right, here's my Christmas Eve announcement. I'm doing it every week. A reminder, our evening service on Christmas Eve, there is only one. It is happening at 7 p.m. That'll be our lessons and carols and candlelight. Worship at 10 in the morning on Christmas Eve will be a Christmas pageant chaos extravaganza, glow sticks included. So you also don't want to miss that. Few other announcements this morning.
Good morning, Chris Ullman here on behalf of the worship team. There is an announcement printed already in the bulletin. We just want to draw your attention to it. Our team is beginning to gather names and updates and changes so that we can create a schedule for 2018 for usher teams, lay readers, communion teams. Really would appreciate your input in terms of any changes. If you've never done it before and you are interested in being helping out with usher teams or lay reading, please let us know. If something has changed and you need to come off the list, we also want to know that too so that we can have a great accurate list of volunteers. A couple of ways to do that. Hospitality register is a great way to do it right now. Let us know if there's a change or contact Barb Chapman. That information is in the bulletin. Thank you so much.
Good morning, ladies. This is the last day I'm going to be selling tickets for the Women's Candlelight Dinner. Some of you have come up to me and said you're interested. Well, today's the day. If you don't have your money, I'll take it on Tuesday night. It's at the Whittier Party House at 6. The one thing that I'm going to need are boxes for any that are coming to transport the items to Willow, the previously known as ABW. So I'm going to need people to bring boxes and also to volunteer to transport the items to Willow. Thank you.
Next weekend is the weekend that we'll serve a meal for St. Joseph's, and the sign-up sheets are out on the kiosk. Taking a quick look this morning, there's still lots of opportunity for food donations and lots of opportunity for going down Saturday and serving the meal. If you haven't done it at Christmas time before, it's quite a nice event. People seem like especially glad to receive our tidings of goulash and goodwill. So if you can't get out and don't want to go out in the snow and do shopping, I'm taking cash donations down in the fellowship hall as part of the alternative fair, so come see me after. Thank you.
In my house, we have a countdown to Christmas number on the wall that I have been politely ignoring because I am behind in my Christmas shopping. And if you are like me and need an additional excuse to put that shopping off for one more week, I have an opportunity for you. Next week is our annual Where's Waldo with the senior high youth, and we need some Waldos to mill around the mall with a red and white scarf. You'll see them sitting out in the hallway. Grab one and then email or text Katie and let her know that you are coming. And if you don't want to think about snow or Christmas at all, you could think about summer because we are currently planning the first Gates Presbyterian Church all-church retreat at Stony Point Center. And we are hoping to get at least 10 people who are committed by December 20th. There's a sign up on the kiosk, and you can ask me if you have any other questions. Now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Christmas is coming. Are you ready?
Have you got the tree up, food and presents bought, cards sent, or are you ready for what really matters? Let us prepare for a time of peace and renewal, no matter what's on your to-do list.
Christmas invites us to live with peace in our hearts and love in our actions. Are we all prepared to invite in those who are lonely or sick? Are we ready to share Christ's love with others?
As we prepare for our Christmas celebrations, we light this second candle as a sign that we are to be the light of Christ, bringing peace to a weary world. Let us pray.
Good morning. Please stand if able to join in the call to worship. Great is our God and deserves our greatest praise. God is awesome beyond all our imagining. Each generation shall pass on the good news to the next and shall declare God's way of peace.
As we wait for the coming of the Christ child, we come bringing all of who we are before one another and God. Let us join together our voices in the prayer of confession. O loving God, we await the birth of your child, Jesus, whom you send into the world to show us the ways of peace. We confess that we don't always follow with courage and joy across all the boundaries of our human difference. Open our hearts and our communities that they may be places where your goodness is recognized and your welcome is shown to all. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, your beloved child. Children to come forward. I know, I'm sitting somewhere different today. I'm a little bit closer. We're all just a little bit closer. So I was told that some of you helped place our Holy Family and their friends under the tree this year. Is that correct? Yes. You guys did a great job, and I kind of messed it up. Sorry about that. But here are our friends, and I have pulled a few of them forward. These are our friends who help us tell the Christmas story. And remember, last week we talked about the beginnings of stories. And this week we're going to talk about the middle of stories. So we're going to also talk about some of the important friends who show up at the manger on Christmas. I've always found this guy to be very helpful. Who is this guy? The horse, the donkey, he hangs out. And this guy? A goat? What is this one? Sheep. All right, she's pretty important. Who's she? Mary. That one's... And this one, how did he sneak in here? He's not supposed to be up here yet. Who's this? Baby Jesus. Baby Jesus, it's not time for you yet. We'll hide you back there. He's got a few more weeks. Okay, so left here are all these boys. And so when I was a kid and I helped my mom and dad set up the Christmas, all of the characters of the Advent story and Christmas story, I was always very confused because I could never figure out which one was Joseph. It was always pretty easy to figure out who these three are. Who are these three? We've got one more in here. There, thank you. The kings, yes. How could the kings? There are three of them. That's how well. Oh. They are wearing crowns. So that makes it very easy to know who the three kings are. They're a little early too. They don't show up until Epiphany. They're at the end of the story. Don't tell them that. All right. So what we've got left here, here's where it gets confusing. I never know which one is Joseph and which one are the shepherds. How do we know? The shepherds have the sheep. None of these dudes got sheep. They look like sheep. All right, well, there is something to be said for we start to look like our pets. So I've always felt a little bad for Joseph because when we pull out our nativity scene, we aren't quite sure which one he is. He really, in the Christmas story, it seems like he has a pretty small part, right? He hangs out with Mary. He gets them to Bethlehem. But Joseph has a very big part to play. Joseph receives word from the angels about how baby Jesus is to be born and how Jesus is God's love come to us in a teeny tiny baby. And Joseph does the very important work of loving Mary and loving that child and helping to raise that little baby Jesus as he grows. So one of these days, I think we're going to have to figure out how to make Joseph a little bit easier to recognize. Do you have an idea? We could write the names on the bottom. We could. And we could do that, and we could also make sure that every year we tell Joseph's story and remember the important part he played. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for Joseph, for the love he shows. Help us to show your love too. Amen. All right. You friends can go to Sunday school. Enjoy.
The first reading of the word this morning is from Psalm 145, verses 4 through 21. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever.
our Advent theme here at GPC. This year is the rest of the story. In worship, we will hear the stories as they come to us through the pages of Scripture. And then using our sacred imagination, we will hear the stories of those who may have been part of the story, the rest of their story. Today, we are focusing on Joseph, not just Joseph, but Joseph's sister. Did Joseph have a sister? We really don't know. But for the sake of our sacred imagination today, we will do our best to imagine that he did and to hear the perspectives of what this coming Christ child meant for them. At the end of the reading, I will use the words, "I'm waiting for the Lord," and you'll see in the bulletin that you will respond with, "Be strong, take heart," and we will sing together the song that we have been singing as our song of assurance. Let us hear now the story as it comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, her husband Joseph being a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. It was springtime. The breeze had cleared the air, and the wildflowers were everywhere. My brother Joseph and I walked the rock-hewn path from our home in Nazareth up the ridge to our spot. Now, one might think that it is ridiculous that we would keep coming here after everything that happened. But it was our place before they came, before we were forced to hide here the day the Roman soldiers devastated our home, before the children were taken from their parents, before men were slaughtered, before the women were raped. For years now, the uprisings of our people held on to the hope of a coming Messiah. They attempted to overthrow the Roman-appointed tyrant leaders who occupied our land, but the Roman soldiers, they retaliated with force, not just to fight, but to punish. You have to understand. There was no peace in our land. And this was not the first time foreign powers thought that they knew what was best for our people. There was slavery in the time of Moses, the exile, and now occupation. But Joseph and I, we remember this place before that day. And we were children. And we would come and we would look across the valley and see the rocks gleaming white on their green hills, the purple thistle, the red poppy, and the white lilies that just made the hills come alive with color. We would gather bouquets of those flowers for our mother and inevitably find something to argue about. You know that it was Joseph not doing something right. I'm the older sister. He had to be doing something wrong. But it was from this spot where we watched our home burn as the soldiers set our lives on fire. They killed our father, and our mother has never been the same. And now, as adults, we still come to this place to sit in the silence, to talk about our weary lives. But is what we are doing now living? Is this the life that God intended for us? I don't really have an answer to that question. But life has gone on for both of us. Now, despite that there were very few men of marrying age who weren't killed, those who remained considered marrying into my family a great honor. Our lineage is one that we can trace back to our ancestors and forefathers of faith, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and David. To the women of strength and courage, Tamar and Rahab, Ruth and Bathsheba. So, of course, I married. My husband and I, we began our family. And life got very busy in my home. Those visits up the Nazareth Ridge with Joseph were less frequent. And goodness, I worried about him. As a way to distract himself from the pain and suffering of our people, of our family, Joseph threw himself into his work, a carpenter. There was plenty for him to do, rebuilding our village and those nearby that suffered from the attacks. Now, I may have been busy with my little ones, but trust me, it didn't keep me from trying to help him find a wife. I did what any well-intentioned, meddling older sister would do. I invited him over for a meal, and just conveniently, one of my single friends would join us. But he would have nothing to do with my matchmaking or the pressures from others that he should marry. My brother Joseph, he's a righteous man, but he's never been much of one to care about what anyone else thinks. He preferred his life to be private. He assured me that when he found the right person to spend his life with, he would know. And no, he did. I was ecstatic when he told me about Mary. Oh, they were perfect together. A suitable amount of time passed, and they were engaged. The contract, legally binding by law, but it would be some time before they joined households and enjoyed the physical intimacy marriage brings. So I just didn't know what to make of the situation. When he came to me one morning, and asked if we could go for a walk. Silently, we made our way up the ridge, and I
took note of just how beautiful the day was and how it contrasted with the solemnity of my brother. We sat on the rocks and the news spilled out from him. He learned that Mary was pregnant. I gasped and I rose to strike him for being so careless, so foolish, to put the reputation of our family on the line like that. Did he not know what that would do? How hard was it for him to just wait a few more months? And he endured my tirade, and then he buried his face in his hands. It wasn't me. And I sat down beside him. Oh, Joseph. She said, he trailed off, barely able to finish, his eyes brimming with tears. She said it was the Holy Spirit. I tried to tell her she must be mistaken, a bad dream, the stress of the wedding and moving in together in our home. It was just all catching up with her. So many thoughts went through my mind. I said nothing. I could not imagine his feelings of pain and anguish and betrayal that came with such a devastating revelation. The person you thought you knew and loved, that unfaithful, and tried to attach such a horrific lie. In the name of God, who did she think she was? I don't exactly know the words to describe how I felt about what Joseph said next. He said he was going to divorce her quietly. There's so much that he could have done, perhaps even should have done, but he didn't. Did you know that she even came to me, Mary? She stood outside my house wanting to explain. I closed the door. I didn't believe her. I couldn't. And then the news spread through town, because of course, word would spread. Doing anything in this town quietly is absurd. Everyone had an opinion. Some thought Joseph to be weak and cowardly because he didn't pursue to the full extent of punishment Mary deserved according to the law. Others wondered if he really was the father, but didn't want to be caught in the disgrace of not waiting until after the engagement. And a few took pity on Mary, supposing this was the fault of a Roman soldier. All Joseph knew is he was heartbroken, and the last thing he wanted was the entire village discussing his private life. So he did what was familiar. He buried himself in his work again, his hands at the end of the day blistered and bloody from the wood and the stone. And for the first time in his life, he even went to work for them, walking the short distance to Sepphoris, the Roman-occupied city. He hired himself out to dig foundations and build streets for the people who had taken away so much from our people. I'd never seen him so upset before. All he did was work and sleep and pray. Our walks up the ridge became much less frequent. So you can imagine my surprise, hesitant delight, when he asked that we go. The walk that day seemed so painfully slow. And when we were seated on the rocks in our spot, Joseph reached out to a nearby bush and snapped off a rose. He stripped off the thorns, his calloused hands oblivious to the pain, and gently he fingered the soft white petals. And he told me about the angel that came to him in a dream. The angel of the Lord called me by name, he said, Joseph, son of David. God knew my name and his, Mary's child, were to call him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, just like the prophet said. If we are to believe this, you know what this means. He's the one, the Messiah. But I didn't believe her, he whispered. Do you believe her now? I asked. Yes. I told him he must go to her. Before turning down the path, Joseph took my hand and said, all this time, God promised to be with us. There's so much suffering and sin. So many people who think they can just selfishly determine the outcome of this weary world. But God is here. Bring the peace we are waiting for. The God of our ancestors of Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and David, of Tamar and Rahab, Ruth and Bathsheba, God is with us. God hasn't given up, and neither should we. I believe her. And I believe the peace we are waiting for will lead this world into its salvation and healing. I'm waiting for the Lord. Be strong.
we gather in this place and we bring those prayers that press and remain in our hearts and we share them together. We give voice so that we can hold those prayers together. If you have a prayer of joy or concern you'd like to share aloud, raise your hand and an usher will bring the microphone. Let us know who you are and what your prayer is this day.
Tam Andalovsky, I'm asking for prayers for a young man in Gates who had a terrible accident and was shocked in his basement. Luckily, his parents were home and were able to revive him. He's been at Strong, I believe. Actually, he's doing quite well, may even be home by now, but still prayers for recovery. Thank you.
Prayers for that young man and also his family.
Andrea Unson. Just prayers of joy. My husband is turning 50 on Wednesday. Yay!
Happy birthday to him. We've got one more here.
Jan Buettner, I'd just like to ask prayers for my cousin Sharon and her family. She lost a son to cancer a couple years ago, and her youngest daughter just got diagnosed with colon cancer, and Sharon herself has just been diagnosed with liver cancer and lung cancer. So it's been a tough time for the family. So prayers for them. Thank you.
Prayers for Sharon and the entire family.
Carrie Dykes, I'd like to ask for prayers for my brother Rick and his wife Joanna, who suffered a miscarriage a couple weeks ago.
Prayers for them, indeed. Got one more hand? Rona's got it.
Christine Cook, prayers for a friend of Rachel's who lives down in Virginia now. Her name is Joan. She's struggling with some depression and mental health issues, and we're just thinking about her.
Prayers for Joan. And from our children this morning, prayers of joy for Advent calendars and new watches, for Christmas almost being here, and prayers for chorus concerts, orchestra concerts, band concerts. Amen on that one. Let us continue our time of prayer. Almighty God, we begin this day waiting and watching and hoping, waiting for you. You have a vision so complete and perfect for your world and all the people in it. And though we strive as best we can to do the right thing at the right time for the right cause, we know that we must attune our efforts with you. So we wait, O Lord, to show us the depth, the breadth, the height of your saving love. We thank you, Almighty God, for sending your Son, and we watch for his coming. In his birth and death, you have shown us how vulnerable in flesh, how naked in truth, and how great in magnitude your love for this world is. O Holy One, we pray today for every home, for every school, for every household of faith, for every agency and government, every place on earth where your people dwell. Let there be such humanity that your people give credit to your divinity. And in every humane act of kindness, gesture of compassion, and word spoken, every labor of love, you are there. And so, O God, we wait in hope. Remind us that your hope is around us. Help us to listen, to look. And in a world where there seems to be such little hope, we pray. God, this morning we ask for prayers for the healing of Jerusalem, the West Bank, and Gaza. Wherever there is warfare and violence, O God, please bring your peace. We hope for nothing less than a new heaven and new earth to be recreated by the love you have for us in Jesus Christ. In his name, for his sake, we pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Watching, waiting, hoping, signs of God's love and abundance are here, right here, in this room. As we receive the offering this morning, let us give thanks to God for all the ways in which God invites us to work with God together in this world. Let us receive the morning offering.
Loving God, you are trustworthy and kind to us who seek you. Thank you for comforting us when we are afraid about what the future may bring. Send us patience through your Spirit so that we will cheerfully bear with one another as a community of faith. Help us to grow in wisdom as we wait for your purposes to be fulfilled in the world. Accept our offerings in Jesus' name.
rejoice. Friends, rejoice. God is coming.